Well, child of the Most High God, this is Tuesday. This is the Tuesday edition of Challenge, and today, in going into today's broadcast, I want to read to you from Morning and Evening, prayers by Spurgeon. This selection is taken from November the 3rd. It's the evening edition, if you will, the evening prayer for November the 3rd. It's entitled, True Prayer, True Power. He's quoting 2 Chronicles chapter 30 and verse 27. Their prayer came up to his holy dwelling place, to heaven. We read now from his devotional. Prayer brings God's unfailing support to the Christian in any situation and circumstance. When you cannot use your sword, take the weapon of all prayer, Ephesians 6:18. Your powder may be damp, your bowstring may be loose, but the weapon of all prayer is always ready. Swords and guns need refurbishing, but prayer never rusts. When you feel that our prayers are dull, it is then that they cut the best. Prayer is an open door that no one can shut. Devils may surround you, but the way upward is always open. As long as the upward road is unobstructed, you will never fall into the enemy's hands. You can never be taken by blockade, attack, violence, or storm, as long as heaven's relief is free to come down in time of need. Prayer is never out of season, in summer or winter. Its merchandise is precious. Prayer gains an audience with heaven in the dead of night, in the midst of business, in the heat of the day, or in the shadows of evening. In poverty, in sickness, in obscurity, in slander, in doubt, and in every other condition, our covenant God will welcome our prayers and answer from his holy place. Prayer is never futile, but powerful. You may not always get what you ask for, but you will always have your needs supplied. When God does not answer according to the letter, he does so according to the Spirit. If you ask for coarse grain, will you be angry because he gives you fine flour? If you seek physical health, will you complain if he makes sickness the method of healing your spiritual disease? Is it not better to have the cross sanctified instead of removed? This evening, offer him your petition and request. The Lord is ready to give you the desires of your heart. Psalms 37:4. I wanted to share that with you before we go into the message I preached this past Sunday, day before yesterday, here at our congregation in Jacksonville, because at the end of this message, I'm going to call you to prayer. Our nation needs prayer. The world needs prayer. But right now, let's go to the message entitled, The Origin of Prophecy. And may God bless you as you listen.
2 Peter, chapter 1. Couple of comments before we get into the scriptures, beginning with verse. Have to understand this. The Word of God originated with God.
Amen.
Was delivered by God to man. He delivered the Word to the prophets and to others, and they delivered the Word to men. Kings, priests, scribes, all manner of men. God delivered the Word, his Word, to mankind, and then they delivered the Word to us. You have to understand this. Interpretation of Scripture and the meaning of Scripture is not determined by denomination.
Amen.
The meaning of Scripture is not determined by a denomination. The meaning of Scripture is not determined by private interpretation. The meaning of Scripture is not determined by some religious movement. So how is it determined? It must be determined line upon line, line upon line, comparing Scripture with Scripture. Systematic theology. That's what we're talking about. Systematic theology, comparing Scripture with Scripture. So, with those thoughts in mind, We go to 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 10. I'm beginning with verse 10. I was there before, but I'm going to start there again this morning to pick up the continuity. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. Now look at this very carefully. Make your call and election sure. You see, you have to know that you're born again. You have to know that you're ready for the last heartbeat. Amen. Because you don't know when the last heartbeat is coming.
No, sir.
Once you enter eternity, your fate is finished. Once you enter eternity, it's sealed. There's no purgatory.
No, sir.
Contrary to what Catholicism teaches, there's no second chance. When you die, it's a wrap.
Yep.
At that point in time, you're either in hell or heaven. So once you enter eternity, your fate is sealed. There's no second chance. It's either new heaven, you're either in heaven or in hell, one or the other. And so we're looking for, as we enter into God's family, those of us who are in God's family, how do we get into God's family? We had to be born again. Now, once we are born again, we're adopted into the family of God. If you've been born again, you have been adopted into the family of God.
Amen.
And as one who's been adopted into the family of God, you are a citizen and will be a citizen of the new heavens and the new earth. You will never be separated from God.
Amen.
Once you're born again, you'll never be separated from God. Now, if you're not born again, those who are not born again, at death are consigned to a place that was never really designed for man. It was designed for fallen angels. We call them demons. That's a place called hell, but it was never really designed for man. But heaven or hell is eternal in for everybody, one or the other. There's no in between. It's either heaven or hell. For those who are born again, with the last heartbeat, you're in glory.
Amen.
With the last heartbeat, you are in glory.
Thank you, Lord.
Forever and ever throughout all of eternity. Without Christ, but I'm telling you, we live in a world full of religious people.
Yes.
Who do not know Christ, involved in religious activities, involved in religion, but do not know Christ. They've never been born again. They've never become a new creation. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 11. For an entrance, so watch this carefully. For an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He's referring to those born again. To those born again, an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Get that down. This is a truth you need to fully grasp. I say it again. An entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. No matter where you are, no matter where you are when you die, doesn't matter. You'll wake up in glory. No matter where you happen to be. And we all may be in a different place when we die. We never know when death is going to take us. We never know when our time has come. But we know this. No matter where you are when you die, no matter how you die, you may be lying in a hospital bed. You may be at home watching TV. You may be walking down the street. You may be in a car wreck. Who knows? We don't know. But however it happens, the very moment you die, no matter how you die, you wake up in glory.
Amen.
It's goodbye world. Hello glory. Now, once you get there, you're in the everlasting kingdom of God. You are a citizen of heaven, a member of heaven. You're in the everlasting kingdom of God. If you understand these things, once you come to grips with this, It is that your expiration, when you die, you see, all of us are one heartbeat from eternity. I am one heartbeat from heaven. And quite frankly, glory looks better all the time when I look at this old sin-cursed, darkened world. But each and every one of us who have been born again, we're one heartbeat from eternity. And with the last heartbeat, we will be in eternity, and we will be a citizen of the new heaven and the new earth. There's going to be a new heaven. There's going to be a new earth with everything that heaven has to offer.
Amen.
And heaven has a lot to offer. Heaven has a lot to offer. We're going to be privy to everything heaven has to offer. Now Peter knew he was going to die. Peter knew. He knew his date of death was pretty soon. He had been told by the Lord, you're going to die. We all know we're going to die, but he has been told, your death is imminent, Peter. Your death is fairly imminent. So he's writing this because he wanted them to know that he was going to die, but he wanted to encourage them before he died, and so he's encouraging us as well. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 12. For this reason, I will not be negligent to remind you always of these things, though you know and are established in this present truth. Peter's saying, I understand that you understand what I'm saying to you. Listen to me carefully. Peter is saying to them, I understand that you understand what I'm saying to you because you've heard it and you've heard it and you've heard it. But he says, I'm going to remind you once again. I'm going to remind you once again of these truths. We are told, and I hold this suspect, we're told that we have to be told something seven times to retain it. I'm not sure some of us don't need to hear it 700 times to retain it. But people in the knowledge and people in the know tell us that you have to hear a thing seven times to retain it. But I don't stop at seven times because we keep hearing the same truth. But understand this, and this gets problematical, I know. You can hear it with your ears, but not hear it with your understanding.
Hello.
You can hear it with the ear, but not hear it with the understanding. You've got to hear it with the understanding in order to grasp the significance and the reality of what you're hearing. You've got people sitting in church this morning that will sit in there, and when they walk out 5 minutes later, could not tell you what occurred in the church. They could not tell you the central part of the message. I think sometimes in the affairs of life, with all of its distractions, and let's face it, life is full of distractions. Every day is full of distractions of one kind or another. I think that all the affairs of life, with all of its distractions, we tend to forget spiritual truth.
Yep.
Yeah. We tend to forget we're passing through. We tend to lose sight of the fact that having been created and having been born, we're now going to exist throughout all of eternity in one place or the other. But we tend to lose sight of that. Eternity is a reality.
Yes, sir.
Eternity is a reality, and as such, it deserves our attention. It deserves our thoughts. It deserves our paying attention to the fact that eternity is a reality. It deserves our utmost interest and attention. How much time do you think about eternity? Seriously. How much time do you spend thinking about eternity? And what eternity is like? And what eternity holds beyond the grave and going forward in the new heavens and the new earth, ruling and reigning with Christ Jesus? What kind of time do you put in thinking about that? We all know we're going to enter eternity. But for those of us born again, we will enter into eternity with the peace of God.
Amen.
Those of us who have been born again. I think Charles Spurgeon who was dying. He said, get my family in here. He said, I want them to see how a man of God dies. I want them to see how a Christian dies. A believer dies. He says, get my family in here. Let them watch me die. He knew he was dying. But he wanted his family to know how a man of God dies, so they could take a lesson from that. When you stop and think about this, how does a Christian die? With the peace of God. With the peace of God. It's okay. Listen to me. You want to be in a position and in a place when the last few moments of your life come, when death approaches you, you want to be able to look death straight in the face. So I know who you are, and I know why you're here, and I'm ready for you. I'm ready for you because I've been to the cross.
Amen.
I've been to Jesus.
Yes.
I've had my sins forgiven. I've had my past forgotten. I have been adopted into the family of God. I am a child of God, and I'm ready for you, Mr. Death. Do your best. You've got to be able to do that. Each of us who know Christ, you say, well, Bob, I don't necessarily want to die. I didn't say you had to want to die. I just said how you've got to approach it. Once it comes, you've got to be ready because you never know when it's going to come.
Nope.
I don't know when it's going to come, but I know this. I know that when it comes, I'm going to make a transition from this sin, curse, sin, darker world into glory.
Hello.
And when I get there, I'm going to say, well, you're Abraham. So you're Abraham. I read about you, heard about you. David, I mean the whole God's Hall of Fame of faith.
Yes, sir.
We're going to be up there mixing and mingling. So you are that person. You're that person. I read about you in the Bible. I saw that situation. I saw that circumstance. What a glorious time.
Amen.
But I got a mother up there.
Yes, sir.
I've got a dad up there. As, you know, when you stop and think about the reality of all this, the reality of death, this is not a down message. This is an up message. We're all facing death, let's face
Amen.
It. But we're not only facing death, we're facing eternity after death. And for those of us who've come to Christ, been born again, we have everything to embrace
yes, sir.
And nothing to regret there. It's all part of the system. Christ paid the price. And because Christ paid the price, I can face death with the peace of God. I can face as you can. When Spurgeon said, I want them to see how a Christian dies. I want my kids to see how a Christian dies. And they brought him in. And he expired right there in front of them. 2 Peter 1:13. Yes, Peter says, I think it's right, as long as I'm in this tent, to stir you up, to reminding you. Peter's saying, as long as I live, as long as I'm alive, I want to stir your spirit. I want to stir your spirit. I want to prompt your thinking. As long as I've got breath, I want to prompt your thinking. I want you to consider the things I'm talking about. I want you to consider eternity. This is not a downsized message. This is a very positive message, but I wonder how many people get up every morning of the world saying, this could be the day I go to eternity. This could be my graduation date to glory. This could be my time. We never know. The key is to know that when that day comes, I'm ready for that day and I can go out into eternity embracing Christ. Everything he has to offer. A citizen of the kingdom of heaven. You see, there is an eternity awaiting us. We're all facing an eternity. And we face that eternity in Christ, with Christ, born again, as a member of the kingdom of God. I could go into a lot of eschatology now, but I'm not going to take that much, but I'm going to take just a moment to help you understand something here. There is going to be a redeemed population on planet Earth at the wrap-up of all things. There will be a redeemed population on planet Earth. Those of us who have been born again will be ruling and reigning with Christ Jesus over that redeemed humanity. Now, if we start getting into eschatology real deep, We've got to get to the mark of the beast and those who receive the mark of the beast and those who refuse the mark of the beast, because there will be a mark of the beast, and without the mark of the beast, one cannot buy nor sell. And so there has to come a time in the history of the nation when the spirit of Antichrist has finally gained access to the nations of the world and is ruling through the individual that they rule through on the nations of the world. We have to understand that at that time the church is going to come under tremendous, great persecution, and the people of God are going to be isolated, they're going to be identified, and they're going to be dealt with. But, glory be to God, for those of us who are citizens of heaven, who've been born again, adopted into the family of God, death is just a quick access into glory.
Amen.
Just a quick access into glory. But you have to understand, it's an incremental process. I've been teaching this for years. I'm hoping you get it. It's an incremental process, and we're watching that process today.
Yes. Yes, sir.
Today you are watching odds and ends and bits and pieces being put together to ensure the end time, and that it becomes a one world order controlled by that individual we know as the Antichrist. Going further now, you have to understand this, that all of heaven, regardless of what happens down here, regardless of how you die, when you die, all of heaven is waiting to receive you.
Right.
As one born again, all of heaven is waiting to receive you. All the saints that have gone on before, all the loved ones who have gone on before, all of them are waiting to receive you. Can you imagine arriving in glory? And here again, see, I deal with these things. Can you imagine arriving in glory? Pless Collins. I'm looking forward to seeing Pless Collins. Pless Collins had maybe a fifth or sixth grade education. Older man in the church when I went to church. Of all the people that was in church when I was a kid growing up, I remember Pless Collins. Pless was a factory worker. Had maybe a fifth or sixth grade education. Maybe fifth or sixth grade education, but he was just gentle, and he was kind. He called me Bobby. Bobby, how you doing today? Bobby this, Bobby that. But Pless Collins, and when I got into the service, I found out that Pless was praying for me. I look forward to seeing Pless Collins in glory, quite frankly. And you've probably got individuals in your life, in your past life, or even now, that you look forward to seeing them in glory. I look forward to seeing Pless Collins. Fifth, sixth grade education. But he was a man of God, loved God, gentle spirit, sweet spirit, love spirit. But he loved me. As a kid, as a teenager, he loved me. You've had people like that in your life. And now the question is, are you going to be that kind of person to someone else in their life? Are you going to be the kind of person that they say, I have no doubt, so-and-so went to glory, and I'm looking forward to meeting them in glory. This is reality. This is reality. And we have to be prepared for reality. All who've gone on before, not to mention the angelic host, when I get to glory, I'm going to meet everybody that's gone on before. And I won't need any introductions. I will know them. I will know every single solitary soul from Adam and Eve forward that have gone to glory. I will know them. I will have all knowledge. So I will know them. I can shake hands with them. I can hug them. But, okay, so you're that individual. That's all waiting for us. So Peter says, in effect, to these people there, he says, I'll be one of those waiting for you in glory. Peter knew I'm going to glory. And I'll be waiting on you to get there. And I will welcome you when you get there. Now, how many do you know that you'll be looking forward to them arriving there? You stop and look at all this. He's saying to them, Peter's saying to them, I'll be looking, waiting for you. I'll be one of those in glory waiting for you. We should be able to say that to others. I'll be one of those in glory waiting for you. I'll meet you when you get there. I'll shake your hand when you get there. How good to see you. But nonetheless, I will be there and looking forward to seeing you there. He goes on to say, Christ Jesus has put me on notice. That's what he's telling them. He's saying, Christ Jesus has put me on notice that my time of departure, my time to enter eternity is at hand. He knew he was going to die. Didn't bother him. He just wanted to get this written before he died. So Peter knows that before long, have you got ears to hear?
Yes.
Peter knows before long he'll be taking flight, F-I-N-A-L. flight F-I-N-A-L, that's flight final. With his last heartbeat, his last breath, he knows that he'll be in glory. He knows his time of death is imminent. Let me ask you this. I'm fixing to sneak up on your blind side. If you knew you had 24 hours to live, how would it change your life? If you knew you had 24 hours to live, if you knew you had 3 days to live, how would it change your life? How would it change your priorities in life? If you knew that death was imminent within a few hours or a few days, what difference would it make in your life? What difference would it make as to how you respond to other people? What difference would it make as to how you react to situations in life? Because you see, you don't know, and I don't know. I don't know how much longer I've got. And you don't know how much longer you've got. It's just that I know what's on the back end of when I go.
Amen.
I know what I'm looking at when I go. But the question I come to, you see, if I knew that I was going to be departing planet Earth in the next 72 hours, and if I'm going to make all kinds of changes now, well, why don't I go ahead and make them even if I've got 72 months left?
That's right.
Why not be prepared? Somebody, one of the older theologians, somebody asked him, I'm trying to remember his name, I'll pull up in a moment, asked him, said, if you knew that you were going to die tomorrow, how would you handle it? He said, well, I'd probably go out and plant an apple tree in the front yard. Go out and plant an apple tree. Something that would produce some fruit after he was gone. Because he can no longer produce the fruit. If I'm going to produce fruit, I've got to produce it now. If I'm going to produce, if the Spirit of God is going to produce the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit through me, it's got to happen now. It can't happen after I'm gone. And what change would it make in your life if you knew beyond a doubt? How would it change what you do? What you are? How you react? How you respond? What changes would it make? Because we never know.
That's right.
So why not go ahead and implement that now? Because we never know. And because we never know, we should implement it now. So, we get to glory. We're there with all the saints that have gone on before. All the saints. I've buried a lot of saints, folks. I have buried a lot of saints. When I first went to the old Central Baptist Church, I was performing a funeral about every 30 to 45 days. One or two funerals. They were dying. Mama Soud, how I remember Mama Soud, Judge Soud's mother, and how she'd call me up to her place and say, come see me, preacher, I got something to give you. And I'd go up and she'd have me bake a few cookies, and she'd give me some cookies. Folks like that who've gone on to glory that I'm looking forward to seeing when I get there. And you've got them in your life. You've got those that you have known. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 15. You will know them in the new heavens and new earth. Moreover, Peter goes on, I will be careful to ensure that you always have a reminder of these things after my decease. He says, long after I am gone, I want you to remember what I taught you. I want you to remember the truth that I share with you. Let me ask you this. How do you want to be remembered? If you had to sit down with pencil and paper, and write down, this is the way I want to be remembered when I die. What would you write? If you had to sit down and write, this is how I want to be remembered when I die. I can tell you how, what I could write for the most part. I want to be remembered as a godly man. I want to be remembered as a godly, faithful husband. I want to be remembered as a godly, faithful father. I want to be remembered as an intercessor. I want to be remembered as salt and light. I could walk into a room and take some light in there. I could be salt no matter where I went. I'd like to be remembered as a man who reacted, responded to life and the ups and downs of life in a Christ-like manner. Understand this. Once you got born again and you became a member of the family of God, please, please hear my heart. I'm having to come to grips with this more and more and more every day of the world these days. Please understand that the moment you were born again, you entered into the process of sanctification. Sanctification is a lifelong process in which you, by what God permits in your life, what God allows in your life, what God does in your life, it is all a combination processing together to conform you to be Christ-like. The goal for God, for your life, is that you become increasingly Christ-like. Now, understand this. It is a lifelong process. Amen. From the moment you get born again until your last heartbeat, it is a lifelong process of becoming increasingly Christ-like based on what God permits in your life and what God prevents in your life. But you are being conformed. You're under this pressure. I'm under that pressure. She's under another pressure. He's under another pressure. God is tailoring everything to suit us for who we are, what we are, where we came from, our background, our training, our wounds, our bruises. He is everything in our life. He takes that into consideration and permits into our lives that which can help in the process of conforming us to the Lord Jesus Christ. But understand this, it is a process. It is a process by which we are every day of our life submitting and surrendering if we're doing the right thing, but we have to submit and surrender to that process. Now, if we don't submit and surrender to that process, He can introduce those things into our lives that will encourage us to submit and surrender.
Hello.
To His Lordship in our life. So why not go ahead and submit and surrender?
Amen.
All He's doing is preparing us for eternity. He's just preparing us for eternity. So I ask again, how do you want to be remembered? I want to be remembered as a godly man, a godly husband, godly father, as a godly preacher. That's how I want to be remembered. 2 Peter 1:16. For we did not follow cunningly devised fables when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses to His Majesty. Do you remember that Mount of Transfiguration experience? On the Mount of Transfiguration when He was transfigured in front of them? When He was transferred in front of them, Peter and James and John were up there, and they saw His transfiguration. Twice we know that happened. It is the voice of God at His baptism, and the voice of God at His transfiguration. This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. So twice He did that. So we have to remember the Mount of Transfiguration, and we have to remember not to be deceived. Don't be deceived in what you believe. There's so much false information out there, and you've got to know that you know that you know. Now these guys are saying, Peter's saying to them, we have not been deceived. We know what we saw. We know what we heard. We were eyewitnesses to this miraculous representation of Himself in His glorified body. We were eyewitnesses to that. And so He is telling us that all these things went into convincing Him and confirming for Him the reality of Christ and who Christ was and what Christ did. He's done the same thing for you in so many instances, but we lose sight of that. We were eyewitnesses to the miracles He performed, and there were many. He performed so many miracles. But let me tell you something, child of God. If you've been born again, you are a walking miracle.
That's right.
Amen.
If you have the greatest miracle I've ever seen is what He changed me.
Yes.
I know what I used to be. And some of you could say the same thing. I know what I was. Praise God, I'm not all I want to be, but I'm not what I used to be.
Amen.
Praise God, I'm a walking miracle myself because of what He's done in my life. Many of us can say that. So understand this. Salvation itself is a miraculous work of God. Turn to somebody right now and say, I'm a miracle.
I'm a miracle.
I'm a miracle of God's love.
I'm a miracle of God's grace.
Freddie, even you're a miracle. Those of us who have been born again, we are walking miracles. Absolutely walking miracles. Salvation, you have to understand this, salvation is a miraculous work of God.
Amen.
No, you didn't get it. Salvation is a miraculous work of God because what he does, he takes an evil individual who's a child of Satan.
Hello.
You got the nature of the devil. You're born into the family of Satan. You lived in the family of Satan. You executed the desires of Satan. And then at some point in time, God in his mercy, God in his grace, God in his love, reached down and plucked you out of the family of Satan and adopted you and put you in a position to inherit everything he has to offer.
Amen.
Whew.
Come on.
Yeah. I will. You see, when I look at this and I realize I look at everything God has done and everything God is doing and God is yet going to do, to me it's exciting.
Amen.
It's exciting. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, Word of God says there, therefore, I told you I'm a miracle. If you've been born again, you're a miracle of God's love and grace. 2 Corinthians 5, 17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. You know one of my favorite Bible characters? Mary Magdalene. Mary Magdalene. The Bible says Jesus cast 7 devils out of her. I don't know how many he cast out of me. I think it's more than 7, though. When I think back across my past life, I'm sure I had more than 7 devils. But she had 7. How about you? How many did you? Do you realize you're still being delivered?
Yes.
Do you realize that deliverance is it's not a one-time event?
No.
Salvation is a one-time event. Deliverance is a process.
Yes,
the minute you're born again, you become a new creation in Christ Jesus. But now comes the process of sanctification in which everything that you've embraced in your life that was not of God, you've got to be delivered from it. Most of the church doesn't understand that.
No.
Most of the church does not understand that. Mark 16:9. Now when Jesus was risen early in the first day of the week, he appeared first. Why didn't he go to Peter? Or John? Why did he go to her? Look at this. Now when Jesus was risen early in the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast 7 devils. He went to see a woman out of whom he had cast 7 devils. Not Peter, not John, none of the disciples. A woman out of whom he cast 7 devils. A new creation is a miracle. If you are a new creation in Christ, you're a walking miracle. You are a walking miracle. Nothing short of the supernatural God, Word of God can do it. Nothing short of the supernatural act of God could make you a new creation. You are a supernatural act of God.
Amen.
As a new creation. Most of you don't believe that. Most of the church is so eat up with religion and format and formula and routine and the stuff that they never get around to say, wait a minute. Glory be to God, my sins are forgiven, my past is forgotten. I've been adopted into the family of God. I've been dwelt by the creative power of the universe. I'm a new creation, and I'm ready for glory. How many of God's people day by day can acknowledge life like that, get up out of bed every morning and say, glory be to God, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus,
amen,
for saving me. If I come to glory before the day is over, hello, glory.
Amen.
Oh, my soul. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 17. For he received from God the Father honor and glory when such a voice came to him, Jesus, from the excellent glory, this is my beloved Son whom I am well pleased. Now this is God at his baptism, if you will, speaking from heaven in an audible, understandable voice when Jesus was baptized. This audible voice said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. John the Baptist. Peter, all of them there, they heard this. They heard the voice of God from heaven. This is my beloved Son. The same thing at his transfiguration. Now, that voice came at his baptism, and that voice came at his transfiguration. This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. I don't know about you, but if I heard the voice of God speaking from heaven, that'd get my attention.
Amen.
That would get my attention. 2 Peter 1:18. And we heard, Peter's this, he's eyewitness testimony. He says, we heard this voice, which came from heaven when we were with him on the holy mountain. The voice of God. I've heard the quiet, soft, gentle voice of the Holy Spirit. You have too. I've had God speak to me. Quietly, gently, in my spirit. I've never heard it audibly. These guys heard it audibly. They heard the voice of God. We heard this voice, which came from heaven, when we were with him on the holy mountain. Now 2 Peter 1:19. And so we have the prophetic word confirmed, which you do well to heed as a light that shines in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your heart. Let me slow down and tell you something. I spent days on that verse. I have over the years looked at that verse. It's deep, heavy. I went to different commentators, and I couldn't find any that really satisfied me. So waiting before the Lord in the last 72 hours, let me tell you what I came up with. And so we have the prophetic word of God confirmed. God confirms his word. God always confirms his word. Which you do well to heed. You do well to listen. You do well to listen to the voice of God. You do well to listen to the Word of God as a light that shines in a dark place. Now watch this. Bear with me. Come with me now. Prophecy is to the future what light is in a dark room. It partially illumines the future. I didn't get this from anybody else. Waiting before the Lord, 2 or 3 days, waiting, praying. And this is my understanding of that phrase in that verse. As a light shines in a dark place. And here's what I felt the Holy Spirit said to me. Prophecy is the future. What light is in a dark room. It partially illumines the future. We haven't seen all the future yet. We haven't seen all the prophetic word of God yet outlined, but it is prophecy is to the future what light is in a dark room. It partially illumines the future. There's more yet to come. There's more yet to come. Now the word of God is finished. The canon is closed, but our understanding, and as I, sometimes I just get so not frustrated, but irritated, I guess. How can that many different Bible organizations and how can that many different Bible scholars come up with different understanding of the Word of God?
Amen.
How can they do it? How in heaven's name, you see, what has happened many times is the Bible is interpreted in order to fit in with our schematic. The Bible is interpreted time to fit in with our position.
Yes.
It never occurs to them our position may be wrong.
That's right.
But line upon line, precept upon precept, comparing Scripture with Scripture. You have to compare Scripture with Scripture to get the true meaning of it. Coming to 2 Peter 1:20. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. One truth. Denomination does not determine truth.
No.
Understand that. A system of religion does not determine truth.
No.
Truth is determined line upon line. comparing Scripture with Scripture, Scripture with Scripture, comparing Scripture with Scripture. 2 Peter 1:21, for prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. Watch verse, this last verse now. For prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. Let me tell you what Spurgeon says about that, and I close. We may not regard, now this is Spurgeon, we may not regard the Bible as the private word of Moses or Isaiah, but as the revelation of God to all time, most sure and infallible. The Word of God is relevant to all times, past, present, and future. And while I've been standing here trying to follow my notes, my outline, to make sure I got the truth that I wanted to get out, I kept getting the message, battery's low, fixing to... The battery's low, and I was having to dismiss that to get them what I was doing. But nonetheless, I hope you got a better idea now that once you understand that salvation is a moment in time.
Amen.
Salvation is just a moment in time when you come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. But I'm still in the process of sanctification. You're in the process of sanctification. And the moment you think you have arrived, you have failed.
Hello.
Because the ultimate goal is that each of us should increasingly become Christ-like in our responses to life, in our reactions to life, in our relationships, in everything that we're confronted with. We are to become increasingly Christ-like.
Amen.
It's called sanctification.
Amen.
Don't give up on yourself, because God's not going to give up on you. And He's going to keep on bringing you through the process of sanctification. In the last 48 hours, God revealed even more to me. Sometimes it's nothing more than a disposition. Sometimes it's nothing more than a mindset. But you have to stop and say, wait a minute, that's not Christ-like. That's not of God. And I've got to stop and address that right then, right there. When you review your life and what God has brought you through and where He's brought you to, you say, well, He's brought me this far. He'll take me the rest of the way. With all the stuff involved, He'll take me the rest of the way. Any questions on what I've taught this morning before I close this thing out?
Well, Hart, thanks for joining us. That's the message I preached this past Sunday to our people here in Jacksonville. And now I'd like to ask you, join me in prayer as we go before the throne of God on behalf of this nation and the nations of the world.
I want you to understand who you are in Christ Jesus. See, Satan will deceive you. Satan will accuse you. He will tell you that you are not right with God, even though you know that you have been born again, that you have received Christ Jesus as your Lord and Savior. He will point out every flaw in your testimony. He will point out every failure in your life. He wants to weaken you. He wants to immobilize you. He wants to render you ineffective in the prayer closet. He wants to render you ineffective in your witness and in your testimony. He wants to dim the light that you are in the nations of the world. He wants to somehow dilute the salt that you are for the kingdom of God. But you have to take God at His word. You have to believe God, trust God, submit and surrender to His Lordship on a daily basis. May I suggest that day by day, when you first awaken, as you're getting out of bed, submit and surrender to the Lordship of Jesus Christ in your life. Now, what I'd like to do now, I'd like to pray, and I'd like for you to join with me in prayer. I'd like for you to agree with me. The Word of God says, if any two of you will agree as touching anything on earth, it shall be done of my Father, which is in heaven. He, of course, is speaking of those things that are prayed in accordance with His Word and His will. And I'm watching change, folks. I'm watching change in my nation. I'm watching change in the nations of the world. I'm watching a realignment in many instances of nations. I'm not here to point out who's right and who's wrong.
I'm here to approach the throne of God, because I know at the end of the day who's in charge. He holds the heart of the kings in his hand, so the word of God says. He holds the heart of the king in his hands, and he can turn it whithersoever he will. And we have some people in leadership positions in the nations of the world today that need their hearts turned. They need their hearts changed. So I want us to go together before the throne of God in prayer. I want us to approach the throne of God as understanding who we are, what we are, and all we are. That we are ambassadors for Christ. That we are a believer priest. That we are the children of God. That we've been adopted into the family of God. And that we have access to the throne of God, our Heavenly Father. He's open to our prayers. He invites us to come into his presence with our prayers. And we live in a nation that needs prayer. We live in a world that needs prayer. So I'm going to ask you to join with me as I go before the throne of God in prayer. Righteous Heavenly Father, my Father, my God, I come before your throne in the matchless, precious, holy name of Christ Jesus, your Son, my Savior. And Father, I come along with these others before your throne on behalf of the kingdom of God and the kingdom of God in this nation. And Father, you know what's going on in the nations of the world. But from everything I understand in the scriptures, Father, you have turned all of your work over to the church. We are the bride of Christ. We are the ambassadors for Christ. We are the believer priest. We are the soldiers of the cross. And it's warfare. It's warfare. And Father, from everything I understand, you have turned all of your work over to your bride. Those who have been truly born again. Not just the religious community, Father, because so many in the religious community have never been born again. They're involved in religious activity, but they've never been born again. But Father, those of us who have been born again, we come before your throne together, collectively, corporately, on behalf of this nation and the kingdom of God in this nation. Father, I've read the last chapter. I know that there has to be a one world order. I know that the spirit of Antichrist will embolden and embody a human being, a person of rank, a person of position, a person of authority. And I understand, Father, from the word of God, that yes, we, the people of God, will come under tremendous pressure, and we will be assailed and assaulted by that individual and that form of government. But Father, as I understand your work, you have turned all of your work over to the church. We are the bride of Christ. We are the children of God. We are the believer priest. And so, Father God, I'm asking you to stir the hearts of those involved in this broadcast today to join with me as I come before your throne, asking you to become personally involved in the affairs of this nation and the nations of the world and defeat the satanic agenda for a season. Father, I've read the last chapter. I know what's got to come yet. And yet, Father, you have left us here, believer priest, and we're to stand in the hedge and make up the gap and stand against anything and everything that Satan is introducing into the nations. And Father, I'm acutely aware that every single individual in a position of public office, in a position of religious office, or even in a spiritual office, are either a member of the family of God or they're a member of the family of Satan. Those who are members of the family of God, you can use to advance the kingdom of God. You can use to come before your throne in intercessory prayer on behalf of the kingdom of God and the kingdom of God in the nations. And Father, I am asking you, in the holy and precious name of Jesus, I am asking you to breathe defeat. I'm asking you to breathe confusion, defeat. I'm asking you to breathe on the nations of the world and defeat the satanic agenda for a season longer, Father God. And Father, in this whole matter of Greenland, I pray, Father God, that your pure and perfect will be done. Father, I am asking you to directly, intimately become involved divinely in this business. And Father God, I am asking you for your pure and perfect will to be done. Don't let the will of Donald Trump or any other person be done in this situation, but your will be done, Father God. You're the Lord God of the universe, and you control the nations. And Father, I'm asking you for a move of your Holy Spirit in this nation, in the administration of this nation. I'm asking you to invade the ranks of the enemy at every level and every office in the United States of America and defeat the satanic agenda for a season. I'm asking you, my Lord and my God, to show yourself strong. Show yourself strong on behalf of the kingdom of God and bring confusion, breathe confusion, frustration, strife, division, and failure on every expression of the satanic agenda operative in the nations of the world, at least for a season. Do this for a season, Father, and forgive us. Forgive us for our lack of intercession. Forgive us for the lack of saltiness that we should have been that we're not. Forgive us for not having been the light that we should have been. And now, Father, hear this prayer, I pray, offered to you by your people, and be glorified in the way you answer it. And this I ask in Christ Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, amen and amen. Well, thanks for joining me in this time of prayer. And folks, keep praying. Turn up the heat. Turn up the heat on the satanic agenda and pray. Go before the throne of God day by day by day, praying as Jesus did, thy will be done. Thy will be done in this nation and the nations of the world at this time in the nations of the world. Thanks for joining us today here on Challenge. And until we have a chance to do this again, be ever so blessed. Be ever so blessed.